Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Thy Word, and thank You that Thy Word has a plan for every phase of our lives. Help us now as we think about that plan, and yes, those plans. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak tonight on the subject, God's perfect plan. Define God's perfect plan. God has a perfect plan for your life, and He has a perfect plan for you to find that perfect plan for your life. If you don't find the perfect plan to find the perfect plan, you will not know the perfect plan. I don't know what that means, but that will go down in history as being one of the great statements of all time. Like every tub's got to sit on its own bottom, and good's better than bad because it's better, and other great statements that I've made in the past from this pulpit here. I am talking tonight on the subject, God's perfect plan, define God's perfect plan. Let me make it clear before I begin that I'm not talking tonight about that big plan for God's big plan for our lives. I'm not talking about a call to preach tonight. I'm not talking about a call to the mission field tonight, though that's a part of it, but that's not basically what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God's complete plan, God's total plan, God's intricate plan for our lives, not just the big, but also the little. I'm talking about everything in life when I talk about God's perfect plan and how we can use God's perfect plan with which to find God's perfect plan. I want to say six things by way of introduction. Number one is God has a perfect plan for your life. He has a perfect plan. Now hold it. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying, not talking tonight about the perfect plan is for you to be a carpenter, a plumber, a preacher, or a singer. I'm not talking about that. We talk about that many times. I'm talking about God has a perfect plan, an intricate, perfect plan for every little thing in your life. Number two, God wants to reveal that plan to you. He has a sincere desire to reveal His perfect plan for your life. Number three, the greatest knowledge in all the world is for you to learn that perfect plan for your life. The greatest knowledge in all the world is not hermeneutics or apologetics or apocalyptics or any of the rest of that stuff. The greatest thing for you to learn, you folks in Howells Anderson College, the greatest thing for you to learn while you're here is what to do and how to find out what you're supposed to do and how to find out how to do it. That's what it's all about. So the greatest knowledge in all the world is to learn what God's perfect plan is. I don't care if you're a PhD from Harvard. I don't care what you are. You're a flop in life unless you learn God's perfect plan for your life. Statement number four. The greatest accomplishment in life is to do God's perfect plan. The greatest accomplishment in life is not to build a great church. It's to do God's perfect plan, whatever it is for your life and whatever it includes for your life. Number five. Sometimes we must tap into the great mind of God and transfer this plan into our minds. Now follow me carefully. Here's the mind of God up here. The mind of God knows exactly what you're supposed to do in every area of your life. I mean tomorrow. Tomorrow morning before you go to work. Tomorrow morning on the way to work. Tomorrow morning at work. Tomorrow evening coming home from work. Tomorrow night when you get home from work. God has all a plan. An intricate, step-by-step plan for your life. God has it. And now God knows what that plan is. Now I do not know what that plan is. Some way, I've got to get into the mind of God and tap the mind of God so I can transfer His mind into my mind. God does not bypass your mind concerning His will. God does not usually reveal to you His will by spectacular means. I remember when I was called to my first full-time church, God used a sermon by a Presbyterian preacher to lead me to know I was supposed to go to that church. When I was called to this church, God used, as you remember me telling, the sign on the highway, Hammond welcomes you, down in Denton, Texas. Hammond doesn't welcome you down in Denton, Texas, but the sign was on the highway in Denton, Texas. Said, Hammond welcomes you. And a startling set of events. But I'm not talking about those tonight. I'm talking about usually God works in revealing His plans for your life from His mind to your mind. Now, most of us would be willing to do what God wants us to do if we knew what God wants us to do. Now, that means we've got to somehow find what God wants us to do. If we're going to do it, we've got to know it. And so it's in the mind of God. God knows everything that I'm supposed to do. And God knows everything that you're supposed to do. Now, usually God works from His mind to my mind and puts in my mind what I'm supposed to do. So somewhere or other, I've got to tap the mind of God and I've got to find out some way to get what's in His mind into what's in my mind so I can choose myself intelligently and spiritually how to do the will of God. All right? I've said five things so far. I've said, first, God has a perfect plan for your life. I said, number two, God wants to reveal that perfect plan to you. I said, number three, the greatest knowledge in life is to learn what that perfect plan is. I said, number four, the greatest accomplishment in life is for you to do that perfect plan. Now, again, I'm not saying, if you're a preacher, that's his perfect plan. I'm talking about what to do on Monday. I'm talking about what to do on Tuesday. I'm talking about God's entire plan, intricate plan, network of things you're supposed to do in your life. And I said, number five, somehow we must tap into the great mind of God and transfer His plan from His mind to our mind. And number six, by way of introduction, there is a perfect plan whereby we may find God's perfect plan. And there's one we can use. All right, now I want to give you that perfect plan. Let me first say a few little parentheses. There are two minds involved, my mind and God's mind. Now, I can do what my mind says, or I can do what God's mind says. It's just as simple as walking up to a vending machine, and it says Coca-Cola, or Diet Cola, or Knee-High Orange, or Root Beer, Frosty Root Beer, and you put the 75 cents, or 50 cents, or 60 cents in the vending machine, you decide which one you want. Now, you can decide whether you do your mind or God's mind. It's up to you. It's up to you. There is a way that you can have the mind of God, and I'm going to show it to you tonight. And by having the mind of God, you can know what God wants you to do. It is God's perfect plan of revealing to you God's perfect plan. Now, I want to say, God makes nothing difficult to us. Most of us stumble over simplicity into profundity, or stumble over profundity, and when we could use simplicity, and God makes nothing difficult for us. God wants you to do His will, and God wants you to know His will. All these books on 75 ways to know the will of God, burn them and get in the Bible. And all these ways on 18 ways to find peace of mind, burn them and read the Bible. If all the time in America spent reading so-called Christian books, and watching so-called Christian TV, and listening to so-called Christian radio, were spent in the Word of God, it transformed Christians in this country, and yea, it transformed this country. Get back in the Bible, find what the Bible says, and God has some wonderful things to tell you, and very simple things to let you know how you can find the plan of God for your life. Now, follow me carefully. These two plans are available to me. These two minds are available to me. My mind or God's mind? Now, Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, notice, it didn't say, make this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. Hear me now. God wants you to have His mind. And it is just as close as for you to let God's mind be in yours. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You can have the mind of God to make your decisions, and in that mind of God, you can find the plan of God for your life if you'll have the mind of God. Now I say again, it's very simple. Now the question comes. By the way, let me say this: you can't have both. You can't have your mind and God's mind. It's like the vending machine. You walk up here, and one says God's mind, and one says your mind. You can have your own mind, do your own thing, or you can know God's mind. You can let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, and that will replace your mind, or you can have your own mind and not let the mind of Christ be in you. It's all very simple. It means this. It means there's a way that you can have the mind of God and do what He wants you to do. I've said this so often. There are many wills of God. The will of God is almost a misnomer. God doesn't have a will. God has many wills. You say, Brother Hiles, what is your will? I have many wills. Somebody brought me this in my office right now. There is a cheddar melt in my office right now. And you'll find the sermon will be shorter than usual tonight. But now that's one of my wills. I like cheddar melts. I didn't know they made them anymore. But I like cheddar melts. That's one of my wills. Now, somebody found that I like cheddar melts, and somebody wants to do my will. That's a will of mine. God does not have one great will. God has many. The word will means wishes. God has many wishes. And every one of us ought to be watching every moment to find what the wishes of God are. And you do that by letting the mind of God be in you. That mind which is also in Christ Jesus, let that mind be in you. And all you got to do is allow it to come in you, and then you can find the wishes of God. I got up here one Sunday morning, and I made mention that I had discovered something. I had discovered Wendy's Frosties. That's back yonder years ago. I had discovered Wendy's Frosties, one of the great discoveries of my life. Number one, salvation. Number two, Wendy's Frosty. Not necessarily in that order. But I made mention I had discovered Wendy's Frosties. And you know that I had 100 Wendy's Frosties that night brought to me in my office. Somebody went over here to Wendy's on Indianapolis Boulevard that afternoon. They had to call the police to direct traffic. Folks getting Wendy's Frosties, Brother Hiles. Now, what were you doing? You're listening to me. You want to grant my wishes. You want me to have what I want. I also like Cadillac cars too, by the way, in case you'd like to know. And you want my wishes. I made mention the other night that my glasses are fogging up. And I have new glasses and they're fogging up. And why before the night was over, I got before the week was over, I got three little deals to squirt on your glasses to keep a defogger. And I got one of them. It's foggy outside of the day, and I cleared it up just like that. But you're always watching and trying to find out what my mind wants. You're trying to find what Brother Howes wants. You found out that I like Reese peanut butter cups. I almost run the Reese peanut butter cup factory. Brother Bordway gave me a share of stock in the Hershey Company that makes Reese peanut butter cups. And the truth is, that's been the biggest headache, Brother Ray, I've ever had in my life. I make about $1.73 a year, and it costs me about $10 to work out the taxes on it. And it's unreal. It's just unreal. Philip does my taxes, hates it, and I hate it. And I'm trying to sell it, but nobody wants it. But the thought was behind it, but I was in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, preaching, and when I said I like Reese peanut butter cups, I know I get 500 of those things a week. I was in one church not long ago, got 467 in 2 days. I had to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning eating all those things, but 467 in 2 days. I know that I've gotten 100 Reese peanut butter cups in the last week. I know that. And ladies and gentlemen, keep those Reese peanut butter cups coming in. But you know why I get them? Because you have the idea I like them. And I do like them. And I was in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Right next to Harrisburg is a town called Hershey. Hershey is where the Hershey Company is, and Hershey makes Reese peanut butter cups. They sent the public relations director of the Hershey Company to our service that night. And to honor me for all the publicity I've given to Reese Peanut Butter Cups across the country. I don't know if this is true or not. They said I'm their number one public helper of Reese Peanut Butter Cups. They had a public presentation to me. They gave me a Reese Peanut Butter Cup t-shirt. They gave me a Reese Peanut Butter Cup ballpoint pen. They gave me a Reese Peanut Butter Cup keychain. But they didn't give me a Reese Peanut Butter Cup. It's not the t-shirts I like, folks. It's not the ballpoint pens I like. It's the Reese peanut butter cups I like. But wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you got the place where you were as interested in finding out what God likes as you are finding out what I like? Now, how do you find out what I like? I tell you. Well, Brother Hiles, how do we get to tell you? Oh, I've got a book on 75 ways to find out what Brother Hiles likes. No. What you do is, from my mind into your mind, I plant little seeds from my mind to your mind. I used to have an ingrown toenail. And I made mention of it and the fact that I was suffering. You'd be amazed all the stuff I got to heal an ingrown toenail. best way I found was to cut the toe off. But what you're doing is you're always watching me to find out what I want, and I appreciate it. And I drop in a little hint. One time I made mention that Lincoln's over here Calumet City Sandwich Toss has good sandwiches. Brother Sprunger back here heard about that, and every other Saturday night. And sometimes every Saturday night, he brings me one of those, what do you call that beef sandwich? What? U.S. Steel. Yeah, U.S. Steel. And he brings him one. And he and a piece of pie over there. I like Dr. Peppers. And he brings me a Dr. Pepper. And I'm trying to tell you tonight what I like. But look. Every Sunday night, I could take all the rest of the service and tell you how people try to please me. When I get to my office on Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, lately, for the last several weeks, there's a big a bag of popcorn there, cheese popcorn. Dr. Jorgensen leaves it there every Sunday morning. I made one little statement here that I like cheese popcorn, and Dr. Jorgensen every Sunday morning gives me a big bag of cheese popcorn. Before when I leave my office, three of the cutest little children you ever saw in your life, they're waiting outside my door. They come and hug me, and they give me some raisins, and they give me a little glass of juice, and give me a beef stick or something. I made a statement I like beef sticks one time. And every Sunday morning, I walk out that door after a while, and standing over here will be a young family, and that family will have me a snack to take back to my office. I'll get back to my office tonight. And one of our men will have a little box of Cheez-Its. I love Cheez-Its. I love anything with cheese in it. I'm half Southern and half rat. And I love anything that's got cheese in it. And if you don't believe I'm half rat, there are people you can ask all over this country. And they'll confirm that for me. But I'll have that. That little box of Cheez-Its will be there tonight when I get to. I guarantee you, it'll be there when I get to my office door. Somebody will bring it there to me. And every Sunday morning, Mrs. McCarroll comes and she brings me a bouquet of flowers and she brings me some juice and she brings me some fruit. Why? Because she knows I like that. Now, what I'm trying to say is, I reveal to you what I like, and you catch it. And many of you want to let me know. One of our security guards, every time he guards our house out there, I go in the morning. He has some orange juice waiting for me. I drink the orange juice on the way to church, and it's like that. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if we love God as much as we love the preacher? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we not? I'm so tired of folks saying, "Well, what's wrong with so and so?" Oh, that's not it. That's not it. The issue is, what does God want? What are His wishes? We talk about the will of God. There's no such thing as the will of God. The wills of God. The wills of Jack Hiles. I will that I eat Cheez-Its, and I will that I eat Frosties, and I will that I eat Wendy's chili, and I will that I eat cheddar melts, and I will that I eat anything I can catch and kill. I will that I do it. And God has some wishes. God has many desires. He has many wills. He has many wants. He has many wishes. For example, Brother Hiles, what's wrong with rock music? Now, let's suppose there's nothing wrong with it. Let's suppose there's nothing wrong with rock music. That is a silly supposition. Rock music came out of hell and it's going back to hell. But let's suppose there's nothing wrong with it for a few minutes. Let me ask you a question. You think God would rather have Michael Jackson rock music, or you think God would rather have a born-again Christian sing Amazing Grace? Which would God prefer? So if there's nothing wrong with rock music, you still shouldn't mess with it, because it's not God's, it's not His preference. What's wrong with us trying to do what God would prefer and not just what God, not do what God hates? What's wrong with us keeping our eyes upon Jesus all the time and trying to find what He would prefer? And there's nothing wrong with not trying to satisfy the needs of the preacher or someone you love. And there's nothing wrong with trying to satisfy the preferences of God. Let's suppose that soap operas are all right for a minute. They're not. They're as rotten as the devil. But let's suppose for... Hey, sit down up here. Hey, sit down. Let's suppose... Son, sit down. Let's suppose for a moment that there's nothing wrong with soap operas. Though there's a lot wrong with soap operas. But let me ask you a question. If there's nothing wrong with soap operas, would God rather you watch the soap operas or read the Bible? You see? Now, there's some things that are not wrong to do, they're not best to do. Because there's something better to do. You see? And I'm talking tonight about how to find that in life. How to find the preferences of God, the wills of God, the wishes of God. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Let's suppose, for example, there's nothing wrong with movies. Though there is something wrong with movies. Let's suppose there's nothing wrong with going down to a movie down in Hammond tonight. Going down to a movie. Suppose there's nothing wrong with that. I'm asking you a question. You think God would prefer you to go to a movie if there's nothing wrong with it? Or God would prefer you to come tonight where I'm preaching His Word and trying to get you to please Him? Now listen to me. It's time God's people got out of kindergarten. It's time we got in high school. It's time we got in advanced courses. It's time we quit trying to say, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? There are a heap of things nothing's wrong with. That God would rather you do something else and use that time to do something else. God's preferences. Hey, let's suppose that the guy who brings me a Frosty, let's suppose he brings me tonight a glass of water. There's nothing wrong with a glass of water. But I prefer a Frosty. So he brings me a glass of water. I look at it and I have a little disappointed look on my face. And he says, what's wrong? Don't you like water? Well, yeah. Sure. Thanks a lot. Yeah, it's great. I mean, but that's not what I'd prefer. I'd prefer a Frosty. Now, as sure as I say it, I'll get 10 glasses of water after church tonight. But now look, folks, what's wrong with God's people wanting to do the thing God wants us most to do? What's wrong with us giving God His preferences? All right? Now then, I want to give you tonight six steps in finding the preferences of God. I'm talking about God's perfect plan to find God's perfect plan. I'm talking about the way that God's people can find God's preferences for our lives. And by the way, it's time some of you got there. It's time you grew up. It's time you quit trying to say, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? No, it's time you got beyond that. It's time you turned your eyes upon Jesus. And you kept your eyes towards Him so carefully that you're watching all the time. What would He prefer me to do? What are your preferences, dear God? What are your first wishes for my life? What would you rather me do than anything else in the world? Not just what is wrong to do or what is right to do, but what is righter to do than what is right to do. Six things. One, accept the fact that God knows best. Accept the fact that God knows best. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy path. Trust in the Lord, Bible says, and accept the fact that God knows best. Now, God knows what you need more than you know what you need. And accept that fact. You lose your own will. The most important thing about finding what God's wishes are is lose yours. Hey, you're sitting here, and you love Brother Hiles. And you'd like to please Brother Hiles. And you'd like to encourage Brother Hiles. And you sit there and listen to me and wait for me to drop some little hint of something that I might like. And as soon as I drop that little hint, by the way, you don't care what it is. You have no will in the matter. You just want to please me. That's all. And you have no will. Now, as long as you have a will in the matter, then you're not going to be able to find my will as well. Now, you will not know God's wishes till you lose your own wishes. You know what Christians ought to do? Christians ought to say, I don't care what happens to me. I don't care what I do. I'm not concerned about that. I just want to do what God wants me to do. I was placed here for that purpose. That's why I'm here. That's what God put. God didn't put you here to make money and go to work and come back home, watch TV, and go to bed and get up and go to work, make money, come back home, watch TV, and come back and go to bed and wake up and go to work and come back and watch TV and go to bed. God didn't make you for that. God may put you here to keep your eyes on Him, to see what He wants. I've told you so many times about that day I was wrestling with whether or not I ought to come to Hammond. My soul, I did not know. And I went to see my mother. I cried like a baby at my mother's knee. I went to see my sister. She worked over at Intercontinental Airplane Factory in the bookkeeping department. And I asked if she could drive around with me for a while. We drove around a while and talked about whether or not I should come to Hammond. And I wrestled with this thing. And I said, God, you've got to tell me. I'm with it. I called my preacher. And I said, Brother Sizemore, what do you think I ought to do? He said, son, the first thing you've got to do is lose your own will. You've got to lose your own will. You've got to not say, I want to go to Hammond. Or I want to stay in Texas. And brother, you compare where I was to this set up here, and I had a hard time losing my own will. Now then, I don't want to go back to Texas. I used to say I'll live up here and die up here, but bury me in Texas. I want my body to turn to dust and not to soot when I die. But now when I die, let me turn to soot. Old Yankee soot. Northwest Indiana soot. And from Sut thou didst come, to Sut thou shalt return. But I wrestled with this thing. Should I go to Indiana or not? And one day I went over to Fort Worth, Texas. I don't know why, but Fort Worth. And on past Fort Worth, out where they say the West begins, and it's a Western type country out there. And I was driving and I was praying, and all of a sudden I said, Dear God, I'm at the place now. It doesn't matter to me what I do. I'm as ready to go to Hammond as I am to stay in Texas. I'm as willing to stay in Texas as I am to go to Hammond. I looked over and I saw some tumbleweed. And the tumbleweed was blowing this way for a while. And it seemed like the wind changed and blew that tumbleweed this way for a while. And then it seemed like the wind changed and blew that tumbleweed back this way for a while. And I said, that's it. That's it. I mean, whichever way the wind blows, that tumbleweed, that's the way it blows. It doesn't decide where it goes. The wind decides where it goes. And the Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Holy Wind. Holy Breath, if you please. And I got on my knees beside the car and I said, Holy Spirit of God, let me be like that tumbleweed. Let me just be here and you blow me where you will and I'll go whichever way you say to go. And I have no desire to be anywhere except where you blow me and you just tell me where to go. I was crying like a baby. I was yielding myself to His will and not my will. I was losing my own will. And all of a sudden, I saw a crowd over here in a little strip mall shopping center. A crowd had gathered, and I pulled up, and I was watching what was going on there. And a man had a dog, and the dog was doing tricks. And that man held his arms up like that, and that dog jumped through his arms. And that man asked the dog, how many Ten Commandments are they? And he barked 10 times. I don't know how I'm sure there's some kind of a signal. But the dog wasn't very smart. He couldn't quote them. Sort of a dumb dog. But anyway, that man said he held his hand and the dog jumped over. He pointed this way. The dog went that way and kept going. Hey! And he pointed back this way. And every slight desire of that man, that dog did. And I said, that's what I want. That dog didn't care what he did. He wanted to please his master. Didn't matter to that dog whether he went this way or that way. He wanted his master's approval. Didn't matter what he did. And I said, that's it. That's it. I want my master's approval. Doesn't matter where I go. Just let me go where the master wants me to go. If he says jump through the hoop, I'll jump through the hoop. If he says go north, I'll go north. Stay down south, I'll stay down south. And that's what I want for you. Only to do what he wants me to do every moment of every day. Yielded completely to Jesus alone every step of this pilgrim way. Ready to do what his word commands and do what God wants. Watch him carefully. Listen, you ought to examine this book every day of your life and say, let me see if I can find God's preferences in here. Let me see if I can find what God would rather me do. Go out of this little piddling, backslidden way of living for God. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? Why don't you decide to live trying to keep your eyes upon God in His Word and upon Him in prayer so God can just give you the slightest little hint and you'll want to do what God wants you to do. Lose your own will. Accept the fact that He knows best. Number two, acknowledge Him in every area of your life. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Now follow me. Didn't say, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall tell you where to go. No, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge you, and He'll tell you the path to take to get there. Not just where you're going to go, but the path to take. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. In your business acknowledge Him. In your pleasure acknowledge Him. In your courtship
acknowledge Him. In your education, acknowledge Him. In your family, acknowledge Him. In your marriage, acknowledge Him. In your life, acknowledge Him. In your illness, acknowledge Him. Every area of your life, have no secret places. Have nothing hidden from Him. Invite Jesus into every room of your life. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him in every area of your life. I'm saying, how can I get God's mind to my mind? How can I find God's wishes, God's desires, God's wills, the little things that God wants and wants me to do? How can I find those things? First, accept the fact that He knows best. Lose your own will. Second, acknowledge Him in every area of your life. Number three, do what He says to do. Do what He says to do. Number four, He then tells you why you did it. Now I want to dwell here for a while. You don't learn why you're supposed to do something for God and then do it. You do what God says, then learn why you did it. You folks are not saved. You don't need to know all about justification and propitiation. I mean, these catechism classes are stupid. You don't need cataclysm classes. Cataclysm, catechism. I don't care. Dogachism. I don't care. You don't need it. All you need to know is you're a sinner going to hell. Jesus came and suffered, bled and died and paid the penalty of your sin. Rose again after 72 hours. And you trust Him and that plan for your hope for heaven. That's all you got to know. You got a whole life to learn what happened. I got saved as an 11-year-old boy. I didn't know the word know what justification meant. I didn't know what sanctification meant. I didn't know what propitiation meant. I did not know a single thing about the pre-millennial coming of Jesus Christ. I knew nothing about the rapture. I knew nothing about the judgment seat. I knew nothing about the great white throne judgment. All I knew was that I was a sinner and I was going to hell and that Jesus had paid the penalty for me and suffered my hell for me, and I trusted Him and blessed God for 43 years. I've been preaching, and it's been 52 years since I got saved, and for 43 years I've been preaching the glorious gospel of Christ and examining and preaching all the wonderful things that happened to me in a moment when I got saved for 52 years ago. Now that's why you ought to get baptized as soon as you get saved. Well, Brother House, somebody said to me, those folks up there, they get baptized. Do they know why they're getting baptized? No. I couldn't care less. You're not supposed to get baptized because you know what it means. You get baptized because God said do it. God wanted something for you to do as soon as you got saved. Let Him know you meant business. If God had said jump rope 20 times, then jump rope 20 times. God has said, make a hot dog with mustard and ketchup and eat it, then make a hot dog with mustard and ketchup and eat it. Down in Jamaica preaching, this big, good-looking black fellow stood up. I could tell when he talked, he'd been influenced by some American seminary. He said, Dr. House, could I ask you a question, please? He learned that in seminary. You don't learn that in Howells Anderson College. You learn to say, what? Glory in Howells Anderson College. I said, what is that? He said, Dr. Howells, this question. What is your plan about baptizing converts? What is your plan? I knew he'd been tampered with. I knew he'd been to America. And I said, my plan is this. When a person gets saved, you wait 6 months. You check and be sure he's saved. Once you're sure he's saved, then you have a catechism class where you explain to him all about baptism. After you've taught him about baptism and church membership for about 6 months, then you baptize him. Oh, the old eyes in this big black man's head, they got wide open and his teeth shined through his black face, and he smiled and he said, Dr. Hiles, that's exactly my plan. And I said, yes, but I read in the Bible one day and found out God's plan was different from mine, so I use his instead of mine. You don't have to know why. Do it and find out why you did it. You didn't know all about marriage when you married. I don't care whose book you've read. You didn't know about marriage. You still don't know her. I don't understand women. A woman can tell you she loves you, and 10 minutes later can tell you she hates you, and mean it both times. That woman right there, she had gallbladder surgery. You should have seen her. Gallbladder surgery. She walked in that hospital. Didn't even go the night before and spend the night. She walked in. Little handkerchief that's for show instead of blow that she holds her all the time in her hand. I wish you could have seen her. Brother Colston, you were there. She looked like she was going shopping. She walked in there. They got a knife, cut her open, took the gallbladder out. Bet your quarter she had a little handkerchief in her hand all the time it's going. I want to tell you something. Brother, that's not the way. If I ever have my gallbladder out, that's not the way I'll do it. No way. I'll call a Christian Science Monitor, Jimmy Swaggart, Oral Roberts, and all the rest of them. I'm going to have a whole world praying for me. I'm going to call medicine men in Africa and have them working on me. And yet, have your gallbladder out. No big deal. Ho-hum. A cockroach can crawl across the kitchen. You call the National Guard. You don't know about marriage, but you got married. If you'd known what you was getting into, you wouldn't have. But anyway, God says get baptized. Why? Paul, you said get baptized. What does it mean? Good, and I'll tell you when you get through what it means. I said, accept the fact he knows best. Lose your own will. I said, then acknowledge him in every area of your life. I said, then do what he says to do. I said, then he tells you why you did it. Obedience is the vehicle that takes us to knowledge. We don't understand God's will and then do it. We do God's will and then understand it. Salvation is that way. Baptism is that way. Join the church is that way. Well, I want to know all about the church. Give me a copy of the Constitution. I don't know where it is. I haven't seen one in 20 years, 25 years. Where it is? We got some. If you ever want to see it, you can see it. But listen, no, you let the Holy Spirit tell you what to do. Let the Holy Spirit tell you what to do. You do, and then have it explained to you. John 17:1 says, if any man will do his will, he shall know his doctrine. If any man will do his will. You don't know his doctrine, then do his will. You do his will, then know his doctrine. God tells you what you did after you've done it. Number 5, you ask him to give you his mind. You ask him to give his mind. Let me say it again. I'm trying to find what is in God's mind. I'm trying to let this mind of God be in me, the mind which was also in Christ Jesus. I'm trying to find God's perfect plan to find God's perfect plan. I'm trying to find the wishes of God, the wants of God, the desires of God. Now, what is that plan that will enable me for God to tell me what? Okay, let me illustrate. If I really needed something tonight, I could ask any man on this platform, and he'd do it for me. Any man. I wouldn't call Robert L. Sumner. Say, hey, Bob. Or Bobby. I have a need. No. I ask these men who love me and who want to please me. And if God wants something done, He's gonna reveal it to those of us who want to do it. You ask Him to give you His mind, then you claim it. Then you allow His mind to enter yours. When God guides us, He does not bypass our minds. He communicates His plan to our minds. Now, all of that to say this. Let me illustrate the whole thing as simple as this. Did you ever walk up, ask somebody for directions in a strange town? I think about Tom McKinney every time I think about that. We took a tour to the Holy Land. We went to Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, Austin, and then El Paso, and then but anyway, we went to the Holy Land. Coming back from the Holy Land, we 62 of us, we stopped in London. We didn't like London. Nobody treated us right in London. Nobody. We, in first place, it's raining. And we tried to find a church. Couldn't find. We found a church seated 4,000. Apart from us, had about 35 people there on Sunday night. And everything. We checked into the hotel. They'd promised us first-class hotels. I mean first-class hotels. Checked in the hotel. This guy, and this big London Englishman. And they can't talk plainly anyway. And I say, that old chap, what can we do for you? And I said, well, a bunch of stuff, I think. But he said, these are your rooms. We went to rooms. Do you know that our people didn't have private baths? They had to walk down a hallway and go to a public shower and public bathrooms. And they'd paid life savings for that trip of a lifetime. I went back down to the desk. And the fellow, I said, hey, is something wrong here? I said, our people don't even have private baths, and we were promised first class luxury rooms. Well, he said, that's all we have left. I said, now, wait a minute, son. I said, we were promised luxury. I said, if you won't put me outside in the tent, I don't mind that, but these are my people. And these folks, some of these folks have put in their lifetime savings for this trip. And he wouldn't let us do it. And I got mad. I mean mad. I mean demon-possessed mad. And then he said it. With his own mouth. He said it. He said, that's the trouble with America and Americans. Fee, fi, fo, fum. I wanted the blood of an Englishman. Before I knew it, I lost my equilibrium. I jumped across that desk in that hotel and grabbed me two hands full of English collars. And I began to shake. A collar. I had to kill that guy. They had to pull me. My members had to pull me off that man. You think I've forgotten what I was going to say, don't you? I haven't. We were so mad at England. We were out there walking down the street one day, and a couple of long-haired hippies walked up, dressed like garbage. And they walked up and they asked Tom McKinney. They said, do you know where? And he said, a certain place. Tom had ever heard of the place. He said, yeah. You go 20 blocks down this way. Then you turn left and go 15 blocks this way. He gave them the most unbelievable set of instructions you ever saw in your life. He was getting back at all of England through those two fellows. You call that lying, but God didn't mind. But you've walked up to a town before, and you've walked and you didn't know where it was. You heard about this preacher stopped this little boy, and said, "Son, where's the post office?" Little boy said, Mister, it's right there, right over there. You could see it if you look over there. He said, thank you, son. He said, son, do you know the way to heaven? He said, no, but if I didn't, I wouldn't, if I wanted to know, I wouldn't ask you, because you can't even find the post office. But you walk up to somebody in a strange town. Now, he knows where First National Bank is. You don't know. You come to Hammond as a visitor. You see somebody, citizen of Hammond, where's First Baptist Church? Their mind knows. Your mind does not know. Now what do you got to do? You've got to get their mind in place of your mind. You've got to transfer what they know into your mind so you can know the way to find the First Baptist Church. That's exactly the way you do it in God's will. You want to know what God wants, the wishes of God. What do? You accept the fact that He knows best. You invite Him and acknowledge Him in every area of your life. You do what He wants you to do. He tells you why He did it. And then you ask Him to give you His mind, and you claim His mind. It didn't say, beg this mind in you which is also in Christ Jesus. It said, let this mind be in you. It's like a vacuum. He's ready to come in and give you His mind instead of your mind if you'll let Him come in. Let Him come in. Ladies and gentlemen, as God's people, we have a wonderful God. I mean, our great God and the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He loves us. He gave His Son for us. He died for us, suffered our hell for us, rose for us, ascended for us, is on the, pleading for our case at the right hand of God for us right now. He's coming for us. What a wonderful God we have. It just looks like to me we ought to be watching all the time. What is it you want, God? What is it you want, dear God? What is it you want? Not, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with soap operas? First place, I don't have 15 weeks to tell you a few things wrong with soap operas. But that's not the issue. There are a lot of things that are not wrong. Not wrong. That you shouldn't do. And a lot of things that are righter than other things. And your desire should not to be try to do what's right and wrong. Your desire should be to look to Him and keep a constant attachment to Him and His Word to try to find what His wishes are. What does He prefer? What does He want the most? What are the things He likes? What are God's tastes? I get to Baton Rouge, Louisiana every year. There's a lady down there in the Calvary Heights Baptist Church. She and her family love me very much, and every year I go down there. She decorates my room like she thinks I'd like it. She finds out some things I like. And everything in there. Well, I used to be a Dallas Cowboy fan before they fired Tom Landry. And I, as you know, I was the ultimate in a Dallas Cowboy fan. And I was the number one fan. I went down there one day. That whole room was like a Dallas Cowboy stadium. Everything. Drawings on the wall. Not graffiti, pictures she had drawn on the wall. Had to do with Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboy helmet. Dallas Cowboy book. Dallas Cowboy uniform. Even a letter from Tom Landry. And everything. Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys. Now, I didn't ask for that. And I would have enjoyed that room without a single thing in there about the Dallas Cowboys. But every year when I go down there, she's checked to see what Brother Howes likes. And that room, to go in that room is an adventure. She heard that I like the outdoors. She heard I like nature. I like the woods. I went down there one year, and my room was a forest. Snakes crawling all across the floor. It was a forest. Why? She was trying to please Brother Hiles. And that's the main thing. Oh, God, where should I go? That's not the issue. The issue is, what things does God like? What are God's tastes? The songs that I sing, are they His favorite songs? I hardly ever go anywhere without Blessed Assurance being played or sung. It's my favorite song. It's either the offertory, the choir special. I guarantee you that 4 out of 5 places I go before I leave, Blessed Assurance. Or maybe the choir will sing my little song, Come boldly, come boldly, come boldly to the throne of grace. Or maybe the choir will start off singing, In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. And they'll sing that. Why? Brother Hiles is here. Now, if they had sung All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, that's fine. But they're trying not only to do what I like, but the things that I prefer. Ladies and gentlemen, if we would simply say, from now on, by the grace of God Almighty, we're going to try to find out God's preferences, what God likes. And the way you do it is to lose your own will and realize that His will is better than your will is, and acknowledge Him in every area of your life, and obey Him and do everything He says to do. And once you obey Him, He then reveals to you His pleasure. God's not going to tell you He likes Reese's peanut butter cups until you do what He's already said to do. But once you have obeyed His commandments, God says, I believe that person wants to please Me. And then God begins to show you His preferences. God begins to show you what He likes. Not just what's right and what's wrong, but what's good and what's better. And then you please Him. And then you do His will, His wishes, if you please. Why shouldn't we want to do that? Why shouldn't we? I mean, our great God, who spared nothing for us. Our great God, who became incarnate for us. Our great God, who made us for His own pleasure. Our great God, everything He's done for man with the object of His love. Why in the world then shouldn't we try to please Him in all we do?
In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Sing it. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct. And you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised how much fun you can have pampering God. Pampering God. All Reese's peanut butter cups I get, some little child will be out in the alley, and they'll have not one of the four in one carton, or not even the two, just the little one. And they'll look up at me, and they'll say, "I got something for you." And I take it, and I say, "Oh," and they watch me. They watch me to see how I look. And so I look good. Always look good. But I look good. And I'll say, "Oh my, thank you. That's exactly what I want. Is that really what you wanted?" Yeah. Now, God looks down. And we all look up. We say, "God, I got something I think you like a whole lot. Not just what's right or wrong, but I got some things I think you really do like." And God looks down and God says, "Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you." And we as God's children look up and say, "I got to please God." And it's a wonderful feeling. And by the way, it's a more wonderful feeling to do what sing what He prefers than it is to gyrate in a bunch of rock music. When you give Him His preferences. What does He prefer in your life? Not what's right or wrong. What does He prefer in your life? What is it that are His wishes or His wills in your life? Let Him have it. Father, bless the message.